I told Meech not to bring no. After when I came home from college, my first year I came home from college, my mom had told me that my sister had a boyfriend. My sister was a tomboy type. So when she had a boyfriend, I was kind of surprised. I wanted to meet the guy. Who was this dude? Because she wasn't even really into all that like that. You know, she was into sports and stuff. She had a scholarship to Maryland. And she was on her way to college. She went to Southwest Detroit, even though she stayed over in Ecorse. She likes to go over here to this store that I'm getting ready to go over here. It was like a billiards place. They had pool tables in it, but they also had video games. So I would go up there and just play video games, and guys used to come up there and be asking me about dude. Like, man, where Meech at, man? I'd be like, man. And I was wondering why he was asking me about Meech. But when I found out, when I finally met Meech, I told him, don't bring none of that shit over to the house. Don't leave none of that stuff over there in the drawer. You know what I'm saying? I said, take your shit with you, because I wouldn't even cut like that. You know what I'm saying? Even though I came from that background, my people were pimps and shit like that. But I chose to stay away from that. Even my grandfather, he was with the Purple Gang back in the day. He was working for Alphonse Capone and them. They were delivering whiskey from over in Canada. I'm getting ready to take you right now up here to the store. This is where I found a sack in the house, and I was trying to think of what I was gonna do with this stuff, and I had it in my pocket while I was up here playing video game, not knowing that I could have really went to jail if they had came up in there and grabbed me. But I didn't know, because you know my mindset wasn't on that. I was so pissed at the dude, pissed at Meech for bringing and having the stuff at the house. They had went to him and my sister went to an Anita Baker concert. You know what I'm saying? So I was sitting here, it was on a Sunday. So I was standing up here playing video games, and guys, all this was all banging, man. You know, guys, and they was waiting on Demetrius, and everybody time I come up here, they was asking me. So I had the yayo, and I said I was gonna get rid of it. I mean, what I was gonna do with it. So I started selling it. So I had a sack for like $7,500, $7,800. I sold a whole sack that Sunday. Meech came home, I told him I ain't have his yayo, you know what I'm saying? We sat there, we had a standoff, we sitting there looking at each other, and then I told him, but was it worth $7,800? He was like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, well, I got the money. And he asked me, did I want a job? And this is the spot right here. So ever since that day, me and Meech been together since 1985. And then as far as the dots is concerned, a few dots, I do have a few dots. I got about 40,000 pages of documents. That's how I caught her. And she knows it. And what she's trying to do is downplay this, because she know what I'm about to do. She know what I'm about to expose.
Right, right. Have you and her had any verbal communication outside of social media?
No. I saw her one time at a club when I first got off probation, maybe about 2 years ago. And she was like, hey, Sauce, what you doing in this club? You know you too old for that. I say, shit, well, then what that make you?
Right. Right.
Right. And we just were like ships in the night. She didn't look in my face, and I didn't look in hers.
Okay. Now, one of the things that I definitely wanted to ask you, a lot of people, this is a question I know a lot of people, throughout all this BMF stuff, people have always said they felt like Big Meech partying and all the diamonds and tigers and all that stuff is what brought the attention onto BMF and what took them down. You know, from you being a part of everything from, you say, 85 up into to whenever, you know, it ended. What would your thoughts be on people that say that?
Well, see, that's good. I mean, well, in actuality, what they saying lets me know that what we planned worked, because they didn't see the other side of what was going on. That was the plan the whole time.
Yeah, they're gonna be your good meat. pickup truck with any tag number on his rear.
Was he carrying anything? I couldn't tell.
If the police is following you and you spending money and they following you and they looking for drugs, they're looking for how you making your money. So as long as they're spinning their wheels, trying to figure this out, they'll never figure it out. They was following the wrong people. It was smoke and mirrors. We had been set it up this way. So, you know, like I said, it was only a few men that ran the operation. Everybody else was smoke and mirrors. So if you got 100 guys out, you got to follow 100 people every night. So you spinning your wheels. In the meantime, the few, the proud, the Marines is over here getting the work in. So it was smooth sailing. Nobody never knew nothing about me and a few other people.
And that was a deliberate sit down type of conversation. Like, we purposely gonna go out, do this so they can follow us. And
yeah, of course, that was the plan. Put the billboard up. We didn't care about that because you weren't gonna catch us doing nothing. It wasn't gonna be nothing caught. What are you gonna get us on? What can you get them on? You ain't gonna catch nothing. They spending all the money. So if you're gonna arrest somebody, you can't arrest them for balling. You gotta arrest the people that for tax evasion over here. That's all you can get. Okay, get that. But we wasn't gonna be no real time. There was no crime being committed except for spending money. Exactly. Basically, we went to jail for balling.
So there is a question I do want to ask you. When we first got in contact with each other, I end up posting a audio clip of when Meech was locked up in Texas.
Yeah, I had to call your phone. His block is restricted.
Yeah, he said he's paying for it now.
Okay, well, shit, tell me going to do this. This was from your car, from your phone right now. Then I do. I can talk to you on his phone call later.
When
I run out, just tell him to do it, not call Charles now.
Start doing now.
You're going to
fuck
on my phone.
All right, hold on.
Yeah, you can call Charles now while yours is restricted. That way, later on, when I get ready to talk to her some more, if I run out of her phone calls, I can talk on yours. But right now, yours is restricted.
Yeah, I just took care
of it. Huh?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Hello? Hello?
Yeah.
Charles Money. Listen.
Hold on.
Hey, all right, listen what I'm saying, man. You ain't got nothing, man. Take you something so you can be straight, right? But get them the rest of him so they can handle my business. You feel? Take you something, but get arrested so they can handle my business. Take you enough to be straight, my nigga, you know what I mean? Right, that's what I'm saying, man. Come on, man. Yeah, you know I ain't finna leave you like that, all right? So take you something, be straight, man, you know what I'm saying? That's nothing, my nigga, you my nigga. Come on, man, quit playing.
Call down to the line so y'all can keep in touch.
Yeah, I tell him his mama phone is restricted, man. I can't do nothing but write them right now. They phone restricted. At least if his mama phone was changed, then you got to tell him what they got to do for me to talk to them on the phone from time to time at his mama house. You know what I'm saying?
And if the phone was staticky in that particular situation, is there any way that you can kind of, I don't know if the correct terms would be elaborate or kind of let people know what was going on around that situation? You know, why was he locked up? And, you know, some people may be misconstruing what the conversation was about.
Yeah. What had happened was, he was calling. He needed money, the money for an attorney before he got back up here to Detroit. And some of the people that was holding on to his money was playing him false. Wasn't trying to get his money to him, you know, and acting like they didn't, you know, they didn't have it and they did something else with it, you know. So I had to, he wanted me to do something different, you know, with the money. But I learned from my last lesson that we did about the Hummer when we lost the one that, you know what I'm saying, that the police recovered after, you know what I'm saying, the rapper had given them that information. But what was going on was, I was in possession of a large sum of money, and he needed to pay his lawyer. So what I did was, I got his money back to him so he could pay his attorney.
Okay. Okay. And I also noticed in that conversation, Meech mentioned that he was trying to call, you know, your mom's house phone and that it was restricted. You know, the reason I'm kind of asking that, is that something that he said in that particular conversation? The reason why I ask, you know, because it kind of shows, like, how close you guys were if he was trying to contact your mom.
Yeah, what it was he was calling her because she can get in touch with me, because we never talk directly unless we talk face to face. And I would have to come in. I would come in to go see Demetrius. Other than that, I never talk to him. You know what I'm saying? He never sees me, and I never talk to none of the other people that were around. It was just like three or four of us to the top. That was it. So he knew that he could call to the house and have my people call me to tell me to turn around, because at that time they had arrested him down in his house in Brandywine, Texas, which I was on his way to. I was on my way to take, you know, to get this money down there.
Now, after that particular situation where, you know, you say he was told to turn around and get the money to attorneys and all that particular situation, I don't know if in brief, if you wanted to speak about it or not, but how did Blue Da Vinci end up playing a part in that whole situation as far as after the phone calls and with the money that was supposed to be turned into an attorney?
Well, what had happened was, after the attorney got paid, I took $300,000 out of there. After the attorneys got paid, after his attorney got paid, they Blue and a few other guys, you know, I'm saying Tito, you know, Blue and he was supposed to take the money and do something else with it. You know, it was supposed to go and down to his families, and, you know what I'm saying, and it was supposed to just be sitting around. That was what that some of that money was. But before they took the money down there, before Blue and them took the money down there, what had happened was they tried to make a move with the money and got caught.
And I'm assuming you're saying, because the rest of it, as far as like besides this particular cover page that's going to be on the screen, the rest of the paperwork that's directly related to Blue Da Vinci's case and everybody, because a lot of people I know been asking about that particular question. If you want to see all of the paperwork and everything as well, one, you have to go to
underscore the Real Black Mafia Family, right,
on Instagram, and then also go and purchase the book, and that's where you will see way more in detail of the paperwork revolving around the Blue Da Vinci situation and everything else that happened.
Yeah, see, the thing of it is these guys, them guys were never, all them guys you saw on everywhere you see Meech, you saw these guys were not part of the machine. These guys were smoke and mirrors. Only thing they were doing was they were bait. We were using them to as decoys to lure the police. The police followed them around. They never could get a bust on them, and they never could catch them with no money or nothing like that, because they was not doing anything. So if you got a hundred guys that's riding around in brand new cars and jewelry, and they hanging out and they at the clubs all night, they not working. So the police was wondering how they was getting their money. You understand? So they were just basically smoke and mirrors, you know. So when they went out and tried to do something to try to make this move, they got busted. Because they was never part of this. They thought it was just easy. But if it was that easy, well, then y'all would have been had a job. So they went out there and they got their head knocked off. And that's what happened with that.
So basically, I'm clearly hearing throughout this whole process, of course, there's faces such as yourself and other individuals that the world have never seen that's official BMF members, because we already see you're already dating back all the way to 1985. So, and that's already been documented in part one, you know, as far as the relationship between Demetrius and your sister and how that whole situation happened. So basically, in layman terms, like you just said, all the individuals that would go out to the clubs night after night and strip clubs and day after day and all that stuff, that was purposely done. They were just purposely presented as decoys to cause, like, I guess, like a big fuss or distraction so the police would watch them.
Yeah, see, look, it's like this. The police, they get funded to go out and they follow people. So if you're going to go out and you got to follow 30, 40, 50 guys every night, you have to put a tail on them. That's costing money. So they only going to get a much, so much in their budget. We know this because we have police. We have agents on our payroll. We were actually paying agents. So what we did with them guys, when we put them out there, they get followed. They follow them to their homes. They follow them to women's homes and different things like that. So, but they never seeing no drugs and nothing, and no money exchanging hands and nothing. There was nothing there. So they were just spinning their wheels. So while they was following these guys, the real people involved, the people that was putting in the work, they never knew these guys because they never knew us because we were never hanging out. I mean, me personally, I don't hang out. So I don't take pictures and do all that because of the nature of my job, as well as the other guys. You know, you'll only see a few pictures. That's it. You won't. But like when I used to show up to parties, I'm a suit guy, hard shoe guy. You know what I'm saying? I'm a suit and tie guy. So dude will automatically tell them guys, do not take no pictures of my man right here. I want to see everything that y'all done tonight before y'all go out there putting it out. Do not take pictures of these guys because they already knew. I mean, most people thought I was the police anyway. So.
Right, just your appearance, how you purposely presented yourself. Somewhere in the case where you was talking about, you know, of course, representing yourself, and that they didn't know if you were Cuban, they didn't know if you were Hispanic and stuff like that. How did that, I guess would say, how did that help or could help in your particular situation with them not really being able to tell, like, who you are, what you were, or anything like that? What's the significance of that?
What do you mean as far as like with the case or just with the daily business?
Well, both. Yeah, both.
Well, with the case, I was trying to get a dismissal based on those facts, because if you're going to be prosecuting someone, you have to know who that person is. You know, you have to know all these details. So each time that I came, when I appeared, and when I asked for the dismissal based on those facts, the judge wasn't even the prosecutor. It was the judge. He didn't even want to hear none of that. What they done was they adjourned it. They went on, they postponed it. They pushed it back. They redacted the paperwork and came back again. So they had to redact my paperwork like several different times. They even tried to put drugs on me that I didn't have. They redacted that too. So that's how that happened in that realm. But like when I'm out and about and I'm conducting business, people thought like I was a Secret Service agent and I had somebody important with me. And it depends on how I was moving in those times. But I never ever got stopped. I never lost a load. Never, ever. And I'm moving hundreds of keys a day. I mean, hundreds of keys a week. So I never lost a load. In 20 years, I never got stopped or I never lost a load. Never. What I would do though is, you know, I'm making substantial money off every key that I move. I get a grand off every one of those keys. So what I would do is, you all saw Smokey and the Bandit. You remember Smokey and the Bandit?
Sounds familiar. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was the movie about my man with Burt Reynolds and I forget the other guy's name, but he was driving the truck and they was moving liquor through these dry counties. And the bandit was in the Trans Am with Sally Fields, and he riding through there, and he's causing the distraction while the bag is going through. So I used the same. I paid people to come in to get tickets and stuff like that to do, you know, so the bag could go through until, you know, we advanced, you know, how we were moving the bag. So I had to spend money to make money. So that's why I never lost a load.
Mm. Okay. Now I know you said you met Beach in 85 dealing with the situation with your sister, and end up moving down. You say it was a couple of meetings or situations, vacation type situations or whatnot, down to Atlanta before you, all you guys officially moved to Atlanta around, you said 97, 98?
Yeah, we were down there. We first started off on a street. It was called Robindale or Robinwood. It was off. It was in Decatur, off Candler Road, off the 20. We stayed at a house back there. You know, that's where we first got grounded down there. That's where we stayed first. That was around 96, 97.
Okay. Now, in between that, that's almost like a 10-year gap, a 10-year, 12-year gap in between, you know, 85 and 97 or what the case. What type of things were transpiring in between that particular time with BMF? Because the name BMF still wasn't officially called that, right? Were you guys still going under Rushtown Management or?
No, we left all that.
When I was a young cat, you know what I'm saying? I was a young fella. I remember watching y'all guys do y'all thing. ED, my uncle, you know what I'm saying? So I take care of a lot of his business, quote unquote.
He's
still ducking and running.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Y'all niggas did the beard, though, man. Hey, we appreciate it too, man, because the real and the truth need to be spoken because there's so much phony shit out here that they not even respecting the niggas that's from the beginning.
That's why we straightening this out. We finna straighten all that out. I'm throwing it. Hey, anybody that didn't say nothing, ain't got. If you said something, you got something to worry about. Cause I got your pictures and everything. I'm finna throw you out there. I'm telling you right now.
Shifting to get real.
And I'm starting from the top. I ain't starting from the bottom.
When we left the 50 boys and Rushtown Management. We left all that in Detroit. So we was just who we were. He was dude, and I'm me. You know, Saucer. So we didn't even have these nicknames that we have now that we refer each other to today. But we were just, you know, we were in St. Louis. We met some real serious guys in St. Louis, and we were just in and out from St. Louis back to Detroit, and you know, maybe stop in Kentucky. We'd go down through Tennessee. So we were just meeting people as we were going. This is how we were building up this network. It was all starting out of, you know, the Midwest, out of the gateway to the Midwest, which is St. Louis. So this is where we really started picking up our traction. Yeah, and that's where we really started picking up our traction. And again, like I said, along the way, we were meeting different people from different places, and we were just trying to. The times were different. There was no TSA. You understand? There was no TSA. So I could walk up there to the. I could walk up there to the check-in, you know, have my ticket already, walk up to the check-in, do a curbside check-in, and check the bag, and then go straight to the plane and watch my bag come on and catch it on the other end. So the times were different then. You know, they not, you know, TSA with all that, you can't do all that now. You know, but then it was different. So we had to come up and devise a way to get our product, you know, out to different places so we can expand the business.
Right. When you, I always wonder, like, when you first get into, like, a new area, say, for instance, like St. Louis, did you guys kind of meet any resistance there, or was people automatically getting online, or did any negative situations come out of St. Louis? Did anybody ever turn over or snitch on you guys, try to snitch on you guys from St. Louis?
No, this is where this worked. When people, you know, there's going to always be hustlers in other towns, people that's doing it, and they run their town. But we have great product, and we have a lot of it, and we can afford to give it to you at a price that you can't beat. So what we would do, we would come in and meet these guys and just let them know that, hey, man, I know you don't heard about us. We coming in. We were trying to make your business. We want your business to grow. We know you're doing what you're doing. We give you the price. We're bringing in a sample. Let you check it out. But you're gonna be sitting on your work, bro. You know what I'm saying? Because you ain't gonna get none sold. So what you can do is just you're gonna take the loss on that. We'll help you make the loss up. But and then bam, we gonna give you something, and everybody's gonna eat. And we never had no resistance because who don't want to make money? Who don't want more money? So we never had no resistance at all. It was about the money, the product and the money. Mm. So we never had to do no shootouts and stuff like that. And we didn't have to do that.
Right. And at the end of everything, so St. Louis is pretty much clear as far as no one came out of that situation as far as being a snitch or a rat about it there.
Oh, no. There's a few guys over there that was tainted, you know, they're going to show up in my BMF bad guys reel. I'm going to have a BMF bad guys. It's going to be consistent, maybe about 30 guys, and I'm going to have the paperwork behind it so the people can really go in and see who these people are. Don't take my word for it. This is not what Salsa is saying. This is not what Dexter is saying. This is the government's testimony. This is their own testimony to the grand jury. So you will know these people when you see them. I mean, I'm not telling anything. I'm just a messenger. So I want people to know how this went down, because everybody's done heard stories about BMF, and you done seen all the videos, and you got people coming out of the woodworks talking about, you know, they moved this much, they moved 2,500 and all this stuff. Those are not accurate accounts. You know what I'm saying? I mean, but they can glamorize it any way they want. They steal my people. I love the shit out of them. You know what I'm saying? They steal my people. I love them. You know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna put their business out there, but you know, you just keep it 100. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna keep that 100, bro. You know, I ain't gonna let you just come over here and dramatize some stuff that you wasn't really doing. You know, and you know it and I know it. You know, so and other guys know it too. It's a lot of real guys just sitting around, they know what's going on. So, you know, I ain't gonna sit around and sugarcoat nothing with you, you know, or with nobody else. But it's a lot of bad guys that came out of, like, for instance, my man Danny Jones, he's got a book out, BMF St. Louis. Now, he sat there, I seen his documentary, and I seen his book, and this guy is a rat. I got the pictures and the paperwork. I will be presenting that. He's going to be one of the guys that I'm going to throw in under the bus. Well, I ain't going to throw him under the bus because he threw himself under there. I'm just going to show you what he told. I'm going to show you exactly what he done, his part, his grand jury testimony. I got him off.
So, okay. So, let me ask this question as far as, like, kind of speeding up to date. You know, maybe, I don't know if it's been year, 2 years, maybe even 3 years, New York rapper 50 Cent been teasing doing a BMF series. And, you know, of course, I'm just talking at that time when he first said it, a lot of people, even myself, a lot of people were excited, like, okay, finally someone's going to tell the story about BMF and everything. And then, you know, it's a lot of controversy around, you know, I would see the Charlamagne, the guys that's on the Breakfast Club say, oh, yeah, finally it's going to be a Down South Paid in Full story. And the people trying to tell him, like, man, this is a Detroit story about brothers or whatever moving down there, this and that. Like, what's your overall thoughts about 50 Cent wanting to do this documentary or web series about BMF?
That's like me, somebody asking me. That's like me doing time saying I'm getting ready to go do the G-Unit story, and I don't know nothing about G-Unit. You know, so that's one take. But I would love for the brother to do it. I don't have nothing against the brother. I'm not a fan. I'm a businessman, just like the rest of us. We are businessmen. We don't have no problem with that. But who you gonna do it with? Now, whatever rights you got of dudes, you can use Demetrius's rights. That's y'all thing. But you cannot use the Black Mafia family. I own that. We own that. That's back in our hands. And why not mess with the real people? I mean, if you want to be famous, if you want to be the man, I can make you the man. You want to make $1 billion? I'm offering you a bag right now. You can get it. I got everything. And I was there. And then all the real people, we all together. You know, holler at us. You ain't got no problem with that. You ain't got to worry about the gang. You finna mess with grown men. You're not going to be messing around with the gang bang. We ain't doing all that. We're going to come up in there suited up ties like grown men. We're going to come and sit down and talk. And we're going to make the mess. We're going to make the best possible deal. We want you to do this. I have no problem with 50, but you ain't going to clown this. And you're not going to disrespect the mark. That's all to it. You're disrespecting a lot of people, bro. That's disrespectful. But, you know, we still do business with you. We can still negotiate with you. That's up to you.
When you say he's disrespecting a lot of people, can you elaborate on that?
You can't go out here and do something and get information from somebody that wasn't there and not include these people that went to jail and not including these people's families and stuff. Meech in jail. Meech can't tell you anything. His story is limited. Everything is limited up in there. There's things that Meech can't tell you because he's in jail. Why not mess with the real people out here? It's disrespectful. That's like me going over there trying to do the 50 Cent story.
Right. Now, you who actually owns the trademark or copyright of actual BMF, like the logo and all that?
I own the trademark. I got the trademark. I posted. I got the master filing. They can't do nothing. They can't sell, buy. They can't do nothing. They can't tell. If you go on there, you go to the USPTO and look up the classification 41 on the USPTO, and you're going to see my name, and it's going to tell you that any documentaries, any bands, any events, any short documentaries, any movies, any miniseries, any da-da-da, it goes on and on and on and on and on. any abbreviations, any BMF, black, any all that, you cannot use that without my consent. I own the master classification. Now the classification that Tony and them have, we've been through this already with her lawyers. Her lawyer's name was Greenberg, Julie Greenberg. We went through that. She dropped their case because she know that I had the master filing. That was it. But Tony and them still trying to sell the little hat and t-shirt logo, the little hat and t-shirt thing that her son has as being the trademark.
Right.
It's not. It's just for merchandising. It's just for hats and t-shirts.
And how long have you actually had this, trademark? And you know, how long have you had the trademark?
I've had mine for over 3 years now, and so did he.
Now, are you able, you know, doing that, because I'm not 100% privy to how everything works with that. Once you do it, do it start actively on the date that they approve it, or can you retroact, say, for instance, for individuals, like, say, for instance, you know, a lot of people, well, I'll say Rick Ross made a song, BMF, Blowing Money Fast. When people do stuff like that, do they have to pay any publishing or anything back to you, or is that the reason why we kind of seen... in the past couple of years, I've kind of noticed I haven't seen a lot of people throwing up the banner and using it. Is that the reason why?
And that's the reason why. But I've slowly been leaking it, but I haven't leaked it like I wanted to just yet because I needed to make sure that everybody got out and told their story. I've been waiting on Miss Welch to get out to tell her story. So once she told it, she put her foot in her mouth, which I loved. And then now the story is complete. Then I put my book out. And then my book's only been out like 45 days now. You know what I'm saying? So it hasn't been out long at all, you know, and I'm out here now. So once that happened, I took off because now I got everybody where I want them at. The Blues and everybody, all of them, you know, now they all Blue Da Vinci, everybody. So now I got them all where I want. You know, they've all came out and they said what they had to say. Now let the truth be spoke. And it's not what Salsa's saying. This is what the paperwork.
The paperwork. And we definitely get into Blue Da Vinci, you know, in another part of, because there's so much to cover, you know, much to cover, you know, and this is just the beginning, you know, basically. How many total, quote unquote, snitches was attached to the BMF